Hello and welcome to the Market Podcast powered by Money Control Bell. My name is Shitaja Anand and today I have with me a very special guest, Somnath Mukherjee, who is a managing partner and CIO at ASK Wealth Advisors. Well, welcome to the podcast, Mr. Mukherjee.
Thank you. Pleasure to be.
Right. Well, the first question I wanted to put it across to you is that, you describe yourself as a banker by the day and observer and India's shifting strategic practices by day and night. Well, my question to you is that, do you think the recent micro data suggests that green shoots are visible? And that is one of the prominent reasons for the confidence we are seeing on the street.
Right. Rashidesh, first of all, many thanks for visiting my blog. You must be the 27th person who's seen the blog. But thanks. thanks a ton for that. But, you know, coming back to the question on whether there are green shoots, there are certainly green shoots. And there is a little bit of two-paced nature to the bounce back that we are seeing. Some areas are obviously showing a lot more robustness than some others. Some of it is also a case of bunching up of pent-up demand for about 4-5 months of lockdown, as well as the fact that it has juxtaposed with the festive season that we are into right now as well. So we have to be a little bit patient in terms of watching how the trend goes in the next 2-4 months, especially once the festive season is over. But certainly there are visible green shoots, and whether it is in terms of consumer discretionary demand across a range of products, including the highest end of discretionaries, which is automobiles, as well as in certain pockets, housing. So those are welcome green shoots and signs of some recovery. But I think it is still early days for us to conclude this as a trend yet.
Right. And in fact, PM Modi urged the people of India to enjoy the festivities, but with caution, as COVID is not yet over. Do you also advocate a similar advice to stock market investors and especially the new ones, I mean the Robinhood investors?
To start off with, it should be a ceteris paribus condition for investors, not just on COVID, that you should always be very, very careful about the risks and aware of the risks that are being taken while investing. There are no easy money to be made in the market. If money making was so easy, then we wouldn't have stock markets at all. So there is reason to be cautious. I don't think we have Robinhood investors in India, certainly not in the sense that we have Robinhood investors in the US. But there is certainly been a fairly explosive growth in new investors and retail investor participation in India in the last 5 or 6 months. And that means that there has been a rise in participation of retail investors into equities. Now, if you look at the rise of retail participation in equities over the last 7-8 years, it's been largely via mutual funds. And that's kind of gained a lot of momentum. And today, SIP is now, yesterday we got a new set of data, SIP now forms an overwhelming part of mutual fund equity AUMs as well. However, the last 7-8 months has seen a significant increase in the retail participation in direct equity. And that is an order of magnitude higher risk being taken compared to investing in a mutual fund, which is a diversified basket of 70, 80, 100 stocks. And that is where I think the caution should also come in, because when you are investing for supernormal returns, which are in mid-teens, high-teens, sometimes higher than that, associated with that is a level of risk, including tail risks that are there. So caution is 100% merited and warranted as well.
Right. And the September quarter results, did not disappoint the street so far. But right. What are your expectations for the September quarter earnings, I mean, in totality? And which sectors are likely to get most upgrades? And which are the ones that could see some bit of downgrades as well?
Given the past track record, especially the recent track record of the last 6-7 years, mm-hmm. I think earnings upgrades and downgrades are a prediction that is a little bit worse probability than a dartboard. So I would keep away from doing that. Yeah. Certainly some sectors have shown a lot more resilience, whether it is a small ticket consumer, whether it is some of the consumer staples. Some of the areas like cement has shown remarkable resilience as well. Expect those numbers to recover and be on an even keel. on the other side, there will be a few more on the cyclicals front, including banking and large ticket discretionaries. That should be. The current momentum in the green shoots that we mentioned at the top of the program continue would also see some tailwind on the backs. There is a reasonable widespread of companies where we are seeing interesting possibilities emerging. But that is also along with the fact that increasingly corporate performance has gotten consolidated. Industry after industry, we see one, two, max three players that are meaningfully profitable. So a lot of the so-called tailwinds will get concentrated in those specific one or two companies per industry. And therefore, more than the sectoral performance, it has to be those players who are quasi-monopolies or quasi-oligopolies in their respective sectors that would be more important and interesting to monitor.
Well, the investment universe has also shrunk dramatically post the COVID outbreak as many businesses have moved to a new normal. And do you think investors should focus on profitability growth and not so much concerned about large, mid or small cap? I mean, it should be market cap agnostic?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you look at corporate India, about 22, 23 companies account for 70% of the profits of corporate India. India is not an outlier in this. Look at corporate America, about 30, 35 companies account for more than 60% of the profits of corporate America as well. It's a global trend. What I mentioned a little while back, that profits are getting consolidated, profits are getting aggregated by a few very efficient firms, and therefore market interest, stock market interest is also getting consolidated in those firms as well. And which is where some of the distinctions in terms of market capitalization is also losing relevance. Because if there are only one or two companies per sector that are making meaningful enough amount of money, then really the distinction between large cap and mid cap is a function of the size of the respective business segments that they're operating in, not so much in terms of the size of the company itself, right? Therefore, some of it is driven by this enormous trend that we are seeing, partly aided by proliferation of technology and digitization of aggregation of profit pools with a few companies. Next, a little more mundane and tactical is the fact that some of the mid-cap valuations, if you see, have run up quite a bit ahead of large-cap valuation. And the margins of safety have shrunk quite a bit in that segment. Plus, added to the fact that we are still in somewhat uncertain areas. We don't yet know when the vaccine will come or if there's a second wave or a third wave or whether we'll see another round of large-scale lockdown. So some of those uncertainties are yet not gone with 100% certainty. In that kind of a scenario, the ability of the so-called smaller companies to withstand another round of uncertainty like that can also be a matter of question. Last but not least is the point of when, in what side of the macro cycle do you have smaller companies doing well? Typically, smaller companies tend to do better when there is a macro tailwind behind them. So, you know, the whole concept of a rising tide, raising all boats. Do we have a visibility of that kind of a macro tailwind just yet? Probably not. Probably too early to comment on that. Long answer, but the short synopsis of that is there is very little merit in making the distinction between large cap and mid cap because that is really, as I said, fundamentally the wrong distinction anymore. Simply because there are only one or two companies in every business segment that are making profits. Okay. So the size of the company is reflective of the size of the business segment rather than the size of the company. So better to look out for quality, better to look out for companies that are generating better returns on equity and returns on reinvested capital. Those are more interesting and relevant areas to look for rather than small or big.
Well, rightly put there, Mr. Mukherjee. And we are approaching the festival season. So what will be your message to investors for this Diwali?
Enjoy the Diwali from home. Maintain social distancing is probably the most important thing that all of us as a society can do right now. And from an investment perspective, be cautious, be a little bit fearful, but don't get frozen into inaction. So there are opportunities out there. There will be opportunities out there. India remains one of the most promising case studies of how a very large cohort of people can migrate from, you know, we did that from $500 beginning of this century to $2,000 per capita income today. There is no reason why we shouldn't be at least $6,000-$7,000, which is, you know, which will still be lower than many of our peers in the East Asian region. And when that happens, there will be enormous amount of opportunities that get created across the investment landscape. Add to that the tremendous amount of talent that exists in India and the enormous digitization technology spread that is happening globally, and the kind of advantage that we as Indians can take advantage of that. So the investment universe and the opportunities are really vast. So certainly not the time to be frozen into inaction. Time to be decisively in the market investing, at the same time being very deliberate and cautious about where you are investing.
Right. And we are into what, 7 months of COVID. So how have you spent your time at home, and any new hobbies you picked up or books that you've read which you want to share with your listeners, apart from making money for your investors all the while?
Working from home is, from a productivity standpoint, I think, not a productivity enhancer, but a productivity destroyer at the margin, which means that to do the same thing, you have to work a few more hours. But I have kept pace with some of my reading, unfortunately not all of it, but at least some of the readings. I've completed some of it in the last 6 or 7 months. But, you know, guess what? I've kept away from the investment-related readings. These are, okay. When markets are volatile, one of the things, and this is from Nassim Taleb himself, is when markets are very volatile and there's a lot of noise out there, and the last thing you should do is to concentrate a little bit more on that TV screen flashing market prices or that book that talks about, you know, macros and markets. The best thing to do is to probably listen to music and read a book that is completely unrelated to the market. So it is best to give markets the time. As I keep saying, time in the market is a lot more important than timing the market. So in order to give time in the market, you have to keep your mind a little bit distracted out of the market as well. So books, in terms of, you know, whatever is the right interest. So my interest is in military history. So I've read a lot of stuff on that. I completed a number of long pending books that I had on that. But I think, you know, that's the way to go. Otherwise, you know, the mind will become too cluttered to take any half-decent decisions.
Absolutely. And in fact, you rightly put, time in the market is more important than timing the market. I'm sure our listeners would have enjoyed the conversation that we had. And so thank you, Mr. Mukherjee, and listeners, for tuning into this edition of Special Podcast. But do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com for more on news, business, and economy. Again, thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Mr.